Did you ever do anything really bad?
Not really. Let's see. Oh, and I broke Mr. Anderson's fence and never told him about it.
Broke fence?
I took a crap in the principal's purse 7 times. Then there was the time I convinced a woman to have an abortion so I could build my own Shakey's pizza. I pretended to be retarded and joined the Special Olympics. I tried to have all the Jews exterminated last spring. Oh yeah, and there's this one kid whose parents I had killed and then made into chili, which I fed to the kid.
Boy, oh boy, Eric, you've got a lot to atone for.
Really?
Really. I mean, honestly, I don't know how you're gonna make up for all this.
I want to win the games until he dies playing.
Playing space cowboy in some back room.
Finish the game! No!
Kill him.
You are about to experience.
I can't play these video games.
I want to win the games until he dies playing.
I can't play these video games.
Games and more entertainment radio.
Okay, this is Games and More Entertainment Radio, episode 85. I'm C4.
And I'm Kobar.
And this is your weekly radio show about video games. We like to cover every single little thing there is, handhelds, consoles, PC. And I noticed we've been lacking on the PC an awful lot.
Yeah, well, the PC's been lacking an awful lot lately.
It has. And I hate to say this, but we actually made a half-assed attempt at getting some strictly PC information today, and it didn't happen. That's how bleak it is out there right now.
Yeah, there's a few MMO things we could have talked about, but
right,
people don't like hearing that from us. So.
Exactly, and in fact, there was some World of Warcraft, and there was some other game that I thought that was pretty. Oh, Dungeons and Dragons Online. There was something about that too. They opened up their alpha signups, but you have to be a member of their forum already to like sign up for it. So I don't know that many people that registered on their forum already to go ahead and get in on that.
There's also City of Villains is coming out.
That too, yeah.
If you're interested in that, you should go check it out.
Big stuff. Big stuff. It's all MMO-based. So, yeah. Let's see. Other than that, the website is hwhq.com. You can hear us on a couple different streams, which we actually haven't got all the times and stuff nailed down of everything yet, so I'm not quite sure. I know right now the show's been moved to Wednesday at 4 p.m. on Rant Radio. You can catch us there. Also, you can send us email. The current email address we have right now that we're using is a Gmail account. It's c4.gameradio@gmail.com. And this week we actually have one email from, which we actually got last week, and it just barely didn't make it in the show last week. So, and we had enough troubles with last week's show as it was. I didn't want to have to clip anything else into it with the whole Audacity crashing and everything. And hopefully this week we won't have any of those problems. But this week we do have an email from Zombie5, who's been playing God of War, which we've been hearing an awful lot about lately.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I know a guy at work just bought it too. I think this game is dual layer. Not that that matters to most people, but those of us that like to play games without the, you know, the discs and use things like the HD loader, I can swear that it's like a 7-gig game or something.
Which makes sense because of all the extras.
They did add a lot of extra stuff, and it looks really good. It looks really good. It must be mostly like audio and texture.
Yeah, I'm sure texture-wise there's a lot to it.
It's
as well.
Gotta be, because Zombie5 here actually tells us quite a bit about it here, and the first thing he says, just about the first thing he says, the first bad thing that he says basically lets us know that it's gotta be something else that's taken up all the space on the disc. It says, let's see, heard you two talking about this game, and I thought I would put in my 2 cents, so here goes. First off, let's start with the bad. The game is short. Really short. It took me 8 hours and 3 minutes to beat this game on Spartan, which is the hardest mode available the first time around. The camera angles are great about 95% of the time, but watch out for that other 5% because they get bad at the most inopportune times, like certain jumping and boss battles. So that's a game breaker a lot of the time for me is a bad camera angle, so.
Yeah, but if it's good that much of the time, it's... There has to be a little allowance for messing things up.
If it really comes down to 5%, I would like to look at that as like a difficulty thing. You know, like every now and again, you got to have a little bit of hard stuff in there. Like, there's a few parts, we'll get there when we talk about ease, about camera angles that I want to mention on that game too. But let's see. Oh yeah, did I mention there are only 3 boss battles in the entire game? This by far is my biggest gripe with the game. My second biggest gripe would have to be your weapons don't carry over to a new game. This totally kills any replay value this game would have with me. And to make things even more confusing, for me at least, is at the end of the game, you even get the Blades of Athena, but not one baddie to use them on. Damn it, that really pissed me off.
That is ghetto.
Yeah, it is.
You get this fat weapon, and you can't so much as attack some simple little creature with it.
It's at the very least to see how much damage you could do at once, you know? Send a slime, one of those little blue slimes, after me, you know, and I'll kill that.
But on the flip side, in 8 hours, 3 bosses is not so bad.
In an 8-hour game? Yeah, I guess that isn't so bad.
I mean, when you stop and think about it, if it's going to be that short, what do you want, a boss every 10 minutes?
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah, and that would suck. That would be more like an arena-style game, you know? Yeah, that wouldn't be so cool. But it would be nice to see a game like this that's so highly regarded everywhere else be a little bit longer.
Yeah.
You know, I'm shocked this is an 8-hour game. And I feel sad for my buddy at work who picked it up. And I told him, I said, do not buy this game. I got an email about it. and it's going to be short. I told him, you know, you might want to just wait until it drops price a little bit. But he shaved his beard so he looks just like the guy. This weekend he said he's going to shave his head. He was really into it.
This game does look absolutely incredible. And
it's pretty fun. I mean, from what little I played, I had a good time.
12 hours would be bare minimum for me for a $50 game.
Yeah.
And even that I'd be real kind of iffy on.
Yeah.
It's just like a Fable.
Right.
That game just totally lost points with me when I beat it in like
10 hours.
Yeah, 10, 11 hours.
Yeah. Especially for the price of that game.
Well, yeah, because I bought an Xbox specifically for it.
And now it's coming out on the PC, actually.
Yeah.
They're working on Fable. What was it called? The Lost Chapters or something like that?
Yeah, I guess they're adding a bunch of stuff that they couldn't put
into the Xbox version.
Right.
Oh, shit. I should have answered that, too. That would have been a great person to have. I unplugged the phone. But that would have been a buddy of mine from work, actually. This guy plays games a lot. And, in fact, I've actually been meaning to talk to him about this, but didn't want to kind of spring it on right in the middle of all this.
He says, by the way, we're recording.
Yeah, by the way, and as a matter of fact, I'm going to have to show you a little project that he's been working on. It's right over there. It's a little DVD that him and his buddies have been working on. It's pretty interesting, which is might not ever be seen in America, but it might be seen over in Europe. It's a pretty cool little video, but we can't talk about that here because they would never let this be sold in America. It's pretty bad. So, anyway. But now on to the good. The game looks great. The environments not only look pretty, but also provide a deeper level of gameplay with the puzzles in them, and surprisingly enough, they don't detract from the action too much. The controls are spot on and actually make you feel like you're kicking some ass. Did I mention just how brutal this game is? I mean, there is some really nasty shit in this game, such as ripping an enemy in two, or grabbing one of the flying baddies, throwing it into the ground, and ripping off its wings.
Yeah.
That is awesome. While that may not sound too bad, it's just something that you have to see and hear to fully understand. Overall, the good far outweigh the bad, and I would have to recommend picking this one up only if it is user rented, $30 out of $50. Sorry I talked more about the bad aspect of the game, but I think anyone who pays any attention to video game news will already know how much ass this game kicks. I just wanted to put all the hype into perspective. Well, I'll let you get back to your gaming later, Zombie5. Well, thanks for the email on this, because I'm glad that we got to hear from somebody who's played this now, particularly all the way through.
Yeah.
So, and that's funny that he says 30 out of 50, because I was going to say, in my little story earlier about my friend, I was going to say, you know, maybe you should wait until it's $30. And in reality, that's what I told him, but I didn't want to say it on the show because I thought, well, I don't know yet. But you know what? Haha. Right here. See, I got backup on this.
See, that's really the shame, because if this game was twice as long, I would say most definitely this is
probably
$50
between
game.
$45 and $50. Yeah, right.
But what I've seen and what I've played of this game, it is just spot on awesome.
It really does seem a lot of fun. And it's one of those games that you don't want to end.
Yeah.
You know, like, granted, Fable was a fun game, but it was just like, I wasn't having super fun, I guess. You know, like, it was fun. It was a lot of fun to play, but it wasn't like, well, I can play this forever kind of fun. You know, it was, I could play this for a while kind of fun. And it ended a little bit short, and it was just like, eh, I don't know. But there was some super fun had this week. And everybody's thinking, oh, shit, you played EverQuest all week. That is not the case this week, ladies and gentlemen. Okay. But we still do have a little bit of news up here also. Anything good? Not really. Doom 3 Resurrection of Evil expansion pack is out. It's $34.99.
A little pricey for an expansion pack.
That's incredibly expensive, I think. I mean, even though it's like maybe $5 too high,
yeah,
it makes it a whole new level. It's almost like Well,
the game was $55 when it came out.
The game, yeah, you're right.
The game was $5 above the normal as well.
Which doesn't seem as much because the number was already higher. You know what I mean? Like, it was like 50, right, 55, right. You're getting a whole game. $30, I better have a lot of crap packed into it for an expansion pack, but $35 for, you know, a weapon they stole out of Half-Life 2 and a double-barreled shotgun, which should have been in since release.
That weapon, though, does have a pretty interesting addition to it that I don't think was in Half-Life 2.
I don't know.
You can actually grab the projectiles from the enemy and then shoot them back. We're talking about the gravity gun from
oh, yeah, from Doom 3. Yeah.
Right.
As opposed to just, like, a barrel that was on the ground. Like, we've seen video of play, gameplay, where, you know, they'll launch a rocket at you or some kind of plasma crap. Or yeah.
Whatever.
And you can actually grab it and shoot it back. And it looked like there was some really cool new enemies in there, too. Mm-hmm. But they did say that it follows along where it's still like Doom 3, right? It's not what people... I think this game got a bad rap because people expected to just mow down 500,000 dudes at a time, you know. And I think they didn't get into the whole scariness aspect of it.
Right.
And anyway,
they got the tag Flashlight Simulator.
Exactly, right. But yeah, you know, I think everybody was expecting something different, and because they didn't get what they thought the game was supposed to be, they weren't too happy with it. And that's a shame, because you know what? I had an absolute blast playing that game.
It's not what they intended even from the original. They intended you to be scary.
Yeah,
to be scared. And
exactly.
Just they had to use lots of enemies. And aside from that, if they did go with the large number of enemies and you're just mowing shit down.
Have fun playing that at 2 frames per second.
Yeah, no computer could have handled it.
And could you imagine when they put this on the Xbox? Oh my god, it would kill that poor bastard.
It looked pretty good.
It does look good.
They most definitely did lower the textures.
You can
tell it's most definitely a step below what the texture quality is in the PC, but, I mean, what do you expect?
Yeah, exactly.
We're talking, what 3-year-old technology
yeah,
here?
Yeah, like, don't they use 64 megs of memory in that thing?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it's 64. So, I mean, you're not working with a whole lot here, you know?
But it is impressive what you can do with a console technology, but like I've said before, they can use a lot of software technique because they're making it just for that specific hardware.
Right, right.
Or even if they do multi-platform, they're only having to worry about 3 very specific configurations.
Yeah, exactly.
As opposed to thousands.
Yeah. And that's not to say, though, that, you know, the Xbox version's going to kind of suck.
No, it looked like it was pretty cool.
It does, but, like, I mean, I'm not one to play a first-person shooter with a controller. I can't do it.
A lot of
people can't handle a keyboard and a mouse. Those people...
That I don't understand.
I don't understand either. I do not see how you've gone through life not adapting to that. I really don't. Like, okay, I played with a keyboard forever until the middle of the hype of Tribes 1, where I finally broke down and had to learn how to use a mouse with these kind of games, right? Yeah, it was crazy. I couldn't do it. I was so used to playing games like Doom and stuff with no... I didn't use the mouse. I didn't need it.
Oh, yeah, the page up and page down for the pitch.
Yeah, that was all I needed. And then, like, once I finally got used to the mouse...
That's a lot closer to what a controller is.
Yeah. It's still, you know, and I had a little bit more accuracy, I like to think. But I don't know. Some of those guys with a controller are wizards. I mean, they're fucking surgeons with that stuff, and I don't see how.
I don't either, because with a mouse, you have that precision. In order to get that responsiveness from a controller... The sensitivity would have to be so bad that just barely touching that thing would zoom it across the screen.
Exactly. That's the problem I have. I like to overcorrect. You know, I always miss the guy, but then I'll come back and land it right on once I see where I'm shooting, actually. You know, so I have a hard time with controls. Although I did, you know, have very little problem with Halo 1. Very little problem with a game like GoldenEye. Mm-hmm. I did really well with that, but that was about it. I don't know what it was about those games. They just nailed the controls, which is why I think it'd be a lot of fun for me to play Halo 2. So, and I heard somebody told me that you've got to, oh, my buddy, we call him Creepy. Creepy Bob. And he actually told me that you get to use each trigger to shoot, right? Now, I don't know why nobody didn't write in and yell at me before about this, right? Like the right trigger will shoot.
I thought someone did.
They probably did, and I completely spaced out. Then I should have got my ass kicked, because didn't I just say, like, 2 or 3 shows ago how cool that was in The Punisher?
Yeah.
Right? Like, how bad the Punisher game was, but the controls that I could actually had 2 different triggers for each gun was awesome. I'd never seen that before. Yeah, well, my bad.
if anybody thinks we're, like, uber know what we're talking about, you just have to listen to a few shows and realize we screw up a lot.
Yeah, we don't know anything. You should have learned that a long time ago. That should be our disclaimer on the side. Don't listen to anything they have to say. This is just
not as factual, anyway.
So, yeah, exactly. If you're just, like, laughing at somebody who doesn't know what's going on... That's us. That's where we come into play. Now, the other cool thing, what I was going to say also about the Xbox version of Doom 3 was that they have, like, really cool multiplayer there. You know, they've got the co-op multiplayer over right. Xbox Live, which is pretty neat. I don't know about the deathmatch, though. I imagine there's some kind of deathmatch there, I would think.
I would think so. That's pretty stable for FPS. You can't really get away with not having it.
I just specifically didn't see any information about that.
Right.
So I would imagine it says on the box. You know, 1 to 4 players over Xbox Live, deathmatch, cooperative, or something like that. I don't know. But there's plenty of games that, you know, would get your fix for that anyway. I mean, for Christ's sake, Unreal Championship.
And apparently, with the cooperative, it is a slightly different game.
Yeah, huh. They changed up quite a bit of the gameplay itself.
They took out a lot of the sections where it's just atmosphere and you're doing little puzzles and stuff. And it's basically, from start to finish, total action, gauntlet, sort of.
They made a lot of, like, little cutoff points where you would be heavy action areas where you couldn't have one guy watching your back all the time. You know, you got enemies coming from the ceiling and from all sides and shit. It seems pretty cool. It seems like they did a really cool job with it, you know. And they had to change it for the console. It's a different market, you know.
Right.
You can't have the wandering around and just, you know, goofing off kind of stuff. It doesn't work, especially if you're running out of friend. You know, you gotta have the lots of combat and action.
Stuff for both people to be doing all the time.
Exactly. Gotta keep two people's interests, as if it's not hard enough just to keep one's, right? So, other than that, there is, if you buy the expansion pack for the PC version, or the Xbox version of the original, and I don't know if this is at every store or what, but I know Best Buy has this, they give you a free DVD called The Weapons of Doom. And it's like a whole long DVD thing on something. I can't imagine what, but I guess they get the
weapons, I suppose.
Yeah, but like what I saw about it was something about like they had interviews with the, you know, people from id Software and stuff. So there was other stuff there. It just wasn't all about like weapons. So
that kind of stuff is pretty cool. I like watching that stuff.
Right, me too. Which is why I need to go down there and pick that up. So I really want to get that because it just seems cool. I mean, in fact, I would like to buy the DVD itself. You know, just to have that. But it's like, you know, because I want to play the expansion, but I have this little problem. It's called EverQuest. And I have a hard time playing any game other than that right now. So, I don't know. I'd like to play it, though, anyway. Also, a Half-Life... Now, mind you, this is hot on the heels of the Doom 3 expansion release.
Right.
Valve has to step in, and Gabe Newell put his guitar down for a minute, you know, take time away from his folk rock band, to announce that there's a Half-Life 2 expansion pack coming out.
Took a moment to change his password.
Changed it from...
Gabe N.
Gabe N.
No, what was it?
Gabe N. I'm pretty sure that's what it was.
It was either G. Newell or Gabe N.
I think it was Gabe N, yeah. Yeah, I think it was Gabe N. and the basically, there's no information about this other than the fact that they announced that there's an expansion pack, and so far they're calling it Aftermath.
Yeah.
So, you know, other than that, I don't know, but Half-Life 2 fans should be really happy about that.
It's probably a few more levels and a gun or two.
Yeah.
That's my guess.
Probably, and that's fine. But I don't know, do you remember the expansion packs for Half-Life 1?
Yeah, some of them were really impressive.
The Opposing Forces one I thought was pretty badass. I mean, they totally changed all kinds of crap, and it was like a whole new thing. Then they had the what was it, Blue Shift?
Mm-hmm.
Where you had I actually bought that. Where you had you played as the security guard dude. And that wasn't so much fun, but it was still neat. It was still like, wow, I'm still here at the facility. You know, I'm back at the Black Mesa complex, you know, and I'm playing a different character in this story now. I thought it was cool in, like, the whole, if you're way into Half-Life, you know, and you wanted to know the story from every angle. Right. And so I imagine they're going to do something like that with Half-Life 2, where there's something else going on. Like, you get to play more as Alex, maybe, what are the other person in this, you know, as opposed to just Gordon most of the time or whatever.
Right.
So, I don't know. That might be pretty cool, especially if you're way into Half-Life 2.
A lot of people are.
I could care less. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. There's a lot of things I could care less about that I really should care about. Like, you know,
I played the demo and it just didn't really...
You played a demo of Half-Life 2?
Yeah.
I didn't know there was a demo. Really?
Yeah.
I had no idea.
It's cool. The facial expressions of the engine is incredible.
Huh.
Comes
in very handy when you're mid-firefight and you're like, look how awesome I look.
Well, no, but like for, say, in the future, for storyline in that game, and plus for the future for like RPGs and stuff, the facial expressions that the models make is just intense. It's amazing.
That's very nice. I mean, you gotta have that good animation. I just hope it doesn't detract too much from the game when you're playing. Like, if they had your guide make all kinds of really super detailed animations when you're playing, you can't even see your face anyway. It's a first, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just like, put more into the gameplay or something. But, we don't know. Because apparently it did pretty good. You know, a lot of people bought that game, very popular. I didn't get into it. A lot of people still playing it, you know, a couple times through. I don't understand all that, but whatever. What I do understand is an awesome, awesome game. Looks like it's going to be coming out pretty soon. It's a mod, actually. And this, we probably should have talked about this last show, but I didn't want anybody to think it was a joke. Because we talked about April Fool's Day stuff, right? Well, on April Fool's Day, there was an announcement made about Tactical Operations Crossfire, a mod for Unreal Tournament 2004. A lot of people have been hearing rumors and stuff for the last couple years, you know, about the new Tactical Ops, and everybody calls it TO2K4, and you can't have that now because Atari owns that. Atari has the rights to Tactical Ops. You can't make, you know, the Tactical Ops anymore.
Now, is it the same people who did Tactical Ops?
No. No. From what I understand, it's partially made up of a group of people that were making a different mod entirely for UT2K3, mm-hmm. and it's made up of some of those people and then some other people. Like, as far as I know, I don't know anything else about that. Now, I did try to find out, and I can't find, like, all I found out was, like, that much there. It's made up of a group, part of a group that was working on another mod that never got released. So it's that group and then some other people, and maybe some of those people, I didn't get a list. I don't have a list of names either. I didn't really look very hard, apparently. But I'm sure 10 minutes on their forums, and I would have been able to find out. But if you want to find out anything there is to know, the website for that was, it's www.to-crossfire.net. It's called Tactical Operations Crossfire. Let me tell you, this game, it looks beautiful. It looks absolutely stunning. I cannot wait to get my hands on this.
It's impressive what mod people can do.
It really is. I mean, this better than most, you know, retail games these days.
We're talking generally speaking, college kids that are just doing this in their off time, and yet they can put out some really high quality stuff.
They do, and the good news is though, is they end up, you know, usually if it's really good and popular, winding up getting a job in game development. You know, that's incredible. That's awesome. I wish I wasn't so lazy. You know, but on the website there wasn't much up there. There was really no details other than the fact that it's being worked on. It's been worked on for a couple years now, so they're pretty far along on this. They don't have a release date. In fact, if you look on the forums, they said 16 years, maybe 17, provided there's no like major problems or something. Jokingly, you know, because somebody posted give us a rough estimate release date. People just want to hear. Maybe in 2 years. Maybe in 5 years. People just want to hear that. So somebody posted a thing on there. Maybe in 2 months, 5 months, a year, 10 years, 16 years. So one of the guys from the group apparently wrote back and was like, 16 years. They said definitely before 16 years. So, but they have forums over there, so you can get all kinds of good information about it. Mm-hmm. Just a handful of screenshots. I think there were some pictures of some of the guns, like models and stuff like that. You know. And then there's a PDF you can download, which really has very little information in it. And I don't know why this wasn't like a paragraph text file on the website somewhere instead of having you check out a PDF with some pretty bad graphics in there, really highly compressed JPEGs that made it look like crap. You know, this was like, I don't know if that was a good idea to release something like that. Maybe they should just put it on the site with high quality graphics and maybe wrote a little bit more. However, the project itself looks fabulous. It really does. And I'm pretty excited about this. It's Tactical Operations Crossfire, a mod for Unreal Tournament 2004. Something I have been waiting a long time for. Oh, on the forum for this. They've got a poll asking what you would like the gameplay style to be. And I urge everybody to go there. Like the speed of the gameplay, you know? To go there and vote for your favorite. Because they have, like, would you like it to play, like, Tactical Ops? Like 1.6 or like 2.0 and 2.2 or 3.0 and up, right? And it looks like right now what's winning is the one that I want to win, Tactical Ops 2.2, 2.0, 2.2, right around in there. Mm-hmm. Those are the ones that I want to play. And there was other options too. But that's pretty cool. They're going to tailor this game to what people want to play.
Which is good. I mean, so, they're making awesome. It for us.
Exactly. Like the players. Know, they're putting it out for free. You know, I mean, they might as well make it fun. You know, hey, always a bonus. They need to pass this idea on to other companies like EA. You know, hey, you know what? These are supposed to be fun. Find out what people want to play. You know? Jesus. Now, speaking of fun, it looks like Sly Cooper 3 is coming out. You found all kinds of good sequel information today. And are you positive this wasn't dated April 1st?
So, no. This was like there's full on mock up screens of all this stuff. Well, mock up.
Yeah.
There are real screens of all this stuff.
Cool.
I didn't write that. There's another Ratchet and Clank, and there's another
Jack.
I didn't really look into those because I'm kind of over those. And I'm sorry if you're not.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll cover that as we get closer because they're really popular.
Yeah,
they really are popular.
They all appear to be coming out this fall. The information we have about Sly 3.
Honor Among Thieves.
The problem is it kind of gives away what happens at the end of Sly 2.
Yeah, it does. It does. Which I was pretty disappointed to read, and I was like, oh, Christ. Because I haven't beat it yet, but, you know, I'd like to someday.
So we should probably avoid talking about the specifics of that stuff.
Right. But...
Because I don't think it was very right of the places we went and saw this.
I don't think so either. That was messed up. That sucked. But what we do know, a little bit about the story, though, Sly discovers that, like his family has been keeping, I guess, all their stolen treasure...
In a single vault somewhere. The Cooper family vault.
The Cooper family vault. Could you imagine getting your hands on that? Now...
They're like four generations of thieves.
Yeah, and all their loot.
And booty.
Yep. Some other gang decided they want to get their hands on it. And that's what sets us up for Sly Cooper 3 Honor Among Thieves. You've got a couple new characters.
At least three? Yeah.
Okay.
Information is released about two of them, and they said there are more. So
what was the two? One was a shaman.
Yeah, this guy's kind of cool. He's like this little monkey type guy that... his big thing is he can jump on the shoulder of an enemy and then take control of their mind and, like, run them into trains and
that's all kinds pretty of cool. They can do all kinds of crazy stuff to him. They said, like another one of his abilities was he could turn into, like, a bush so that he's invisible to the enemies. Yeah, that's pretty cool. It's going to be neat to see what they come up with for that, but, you know, that one is like a...
Also, an interesting choice, I thought, was one of the enemies from Sly 2.
Yeah, Dimitri.
Dimitri the Chameleon is going to be a good guy in Sly 3.
Now, if anybody can't remember, I sat here for 20 minutes trying to think of who that was. He's the guy.
He's the first lizard dude
that you fought at the club. I couldn't remember to save my life who it was. But yeah, that's him.
Yes, I thought that was kind of an interesting choice to make.
It's pretty cool, though.
Yeah.
Pretty cool. I'm sure they'll make a good decision with it story-wise, because, I mean, they've done, I think, a fantastic job with this series. We're big fans of the Sly series here, because it's just plain fun. You know, it's just good stuff.
I wasn't quite sure about the direction they took at first with Sly 2.
Yeah, me too.
The first, like, level or two, I was like, oh, Sly 1 was so much better. But then I got into it, and it really is a good direction for the series.
I think so, too. That's exactly what happened to me, too. I was like, oh, this is strange. It's just, that's all it is, really. It's just, you're not used to it. It's not what you thought was going to happen. You know, now granted, I do like playing a Sly most of the time, because I just like his moves better. I like what his whole persona is, you know?
Yeah, he can also get around the level a lot better.
Yeah, yeah, he can. Scroll that walking slowly crap. Not being able to jump and bounce off of weird, crazy stuff, yeah. But let's see, what else do we know about that? They've got, I mean, they upped a bunch of the stuff that you expect them to up. You know, like the amount of moves that you have.
Yeah.
You know, they just seem like they added a bunch of new stuff like that, which is nice. Because in Sly Cooper 2, I did get a little tired of like the same combat happening. Every time I'd sneak up, hit him, then reach over and smack him on the ground and kill anything instantly. It was just like, okay, well, I've had enough of that, you know. Well, I guess they've got a bunch of new finishing moves, I guess. At least you get different animations every now and again.
It does seem like they're once again taking this in a good direction.
Yeah, yeah.
I am looking forward to this game.
Me too. I really want to play this, but I hope it doesn't come out until after I finish 2. It could be a while.
The only tough thing is, like you said, I enjoy playing Sly by far the most. The others almost felt like more of a distraction from the main game, kind of almost like mini games.
You're right, huh? Because you know, every time I'm playing, I'm like, when am I going to get back to Sly?
Not necessarily because they're not fleshed out or not complete characters on their own, but because Sly is just that much better.
Yeah, yeah. They do. I mean, they have a full range of moves. They have all kinds. Like, and Bentley has all kinds of cool stuff. It's just that I don't know. Sly just he's smoother or something. Like, I don't know what it is. All his moves and stuff work out great. It's just tailor-made.
It's a game about thieves, and exactly. He's the thief.
Yeah, the meat and potatoes thief. And yeah, he's got to go out and do most of the crap, not like the hacker. You know, Bentley is going to go out and do a lot of stuff. And then
so. I kind of like the hacking mini-games, though.
Yeah, they're a little fun. That's a little distraction
throwback
for a while.
To old arcade style.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, that's a good way to do it. At least it was fun, you know. They also have the Master Thief challenges in the new one. They didn't have that in the second one. I don't remember seeing them.
Right.
Where you can go back and do the levels over again, you know, and
but it
like
sounded
a
like
super
it's
crazy time limit.
Not going to be the same as the Master Thief in the first
and
one.
The first one was a time limit, right?
Yeah, and I couldn't do it. I could not do the first level.
Me neither.
Of that damn thing.
Well, I got one time, I got like 3 steps away from the door in the first level one time. That's awesome, though. I think that is incredibly cool because had I not... Like, I'm swamped with games to play, but if I wasn't, I guarantee you I would be back there trying every day to beat those Master Thief versions of the first level, of the levels in Sly 1, because it's fun.
The one thing I will admit about the second one, the first one over the second one, is the levels themselves were better, I thought. I mean, there's too much emphasis on the main world in Sly 2. And then the little world, the little levels that you go into in between are very small, very simple. And I preferred the style of Sly 1 in that regard. But the fact that you're a thief and it feels more like you are a thief in the second one really, really helps.
You're right.
So hopefully they'll take the
good and the good.
Yeah, and slap it together.
Yeah, hopefully. It's also got a bunch of mini games, like you mentioned, you know, the mini game stuff. They do have a bunch of mini games in this one too. You know, you're gonna expect the same kind of stuff, I'm sure, where you've got all these little, remember in Sly 2 you could like shoot planes out of the sky and all kinds of crazy stuff. This one you actually get to pilot. So they had you flying around, blowing stuff out of the sky, you know, you were flying a plane around, you know, so that's kinda cool. Nice little distractions like that, as long as the whole game isn't made up of little mini games, you know.
I like those every now and then.
Yeah, they're nice. It's nice to break it up a little bit, you know, and do some different stuff. You know, one of the objectives in a mission should be something crazy. Mm-hmm. Something that's different every time, you know. I mean, it should be not all of them. Go here, do this, go here, and do that.
Like, I had a blast doing that one hoverboat mission in the...
Oh, in the first one?
Yeah,
that was in
the swamp.
That was a lot of fun, yeah.
Where you had to light the torches?
Yeah, that one was cool.
Yeah.
That one was really cool. I had a lot of fun with that one, too. And the racing one, I got my ass kicked on that one a couple times, too. You had to race around, you had to little pick up the nitros and stuff. I sucked at that for some reason. But what else did they have in this one? Oh, multiplayer!
Yeah.
That's a big thing.
It's very, very early, at least the what we saw. But the only mode that is released right now and the information about it is kind of a cops and robbers type of game where one of you plays Sly trying to steal 5 objects while the other plays Carmelita trying to catch Sly 5 times.
Which is cool, though. Yeah. I like that you both have, like, completely different goals and stuff, you know, as opposed to most of them. It seems like most of these games that slap on a multiplayer, it's just shoot each other, you know, or it's if it's objective-based, it's the exact same objective for everybody. I don't think that's very cool. I think it's way cool when you're playing Carmelita, who, if you've played these, knows it's a cop, you know, and then you can play as Sly, and you have different objectives. That is awesome.
But from what I've seen, because Sly's moves and everything are the game itself, his ability to achieve the objectives is a lot more fleshed out and more possible than Carmelita.
Yeah.
Like, it's a lot easier to play Sly than it is to play Carmelita. But... like I said, it's early on yet in that aspect of the game, and I'm sure they'll be working on the fine-tuning.
Yeah, and I hope they come up with a lot more of these really cool little mini-games and multiplayer things. I like the idea of the multiplayer having the different objectives. That is really, really awesome. Let's see. What else did we see? Fire Emblem. The new one for the Cube.
Yeah, I am so excited about this game. For anybody that's played Fire Emblem... I don't even know if any of the Super Nintendo ones ever came here.
I don't either.
I don't
so
recall
sure.
ever seeing one, but that certainly doesn't mean it didn't happen. There was 3 billion Super Nintendo games.
Yeah, yeah.
But I have played the Game Boy one, and that game is just awesome. We've mentioned it before, and I'm sure plenty of people have seen it. It's basically like...
that's the one I keep seeing at the store that I'm convinced I need to buy.
You do need to buy.
Based on the box. Like, I just look at the box, like, oh, God, this looks so cool. And then I look on the back of it, and I see 2 little screenshots, and I'm just like, I must play this game. And then I never do for some reason.
this game, especially since you've said you really liked Advance Wars.
Right.
This game is way better than Advance Wars, in my opinion. The fact that it's going to the GameCube, it's going to be all 3D.
Yeah.
Stuff like that is really awesome. Basically, it's like Advance Wars. You have a map where you have set guys and you move them around and they have different abilities and whatnot. And it's a lot tougher than Advance Wars in the fact that each one of your guys is a real dude with a name, and this guy has this specific set of goal of abilities and yada, yada, yada. And if they die, aside from the main guy, of which if he dies, the map is, you fail and you have to do it again.
Right.
But if anybody else dies, you just don't get to use that unit ever again in the game.
Damn.
So, essentially, especially if you if it's one of the units where you have, like, maybe he's your only thief, or you have only two thieves or something, and then the thief dies.
Thieves in this game?
Yeah.
I'm buying this tomorrow.
And they run around opening up chests and unlocking doors without keys. You can get away without having them because you can...
No, you can't.
You can kill the guy and get the key.
I'm going to have an army. Oh, man. I love that kind of shit.
Plus, once you get a guy to level 10, you can use... If you get a special item for each type of unit, like the knight gets the knight crest, and suddenly he becomes an uber knight, and you start over with new skills. But now he's, like, really tough.
That's bad.
In the new one... Not only are obviously the graphics quite a bit better, but...
Right, we're talking about what, from the Game Boy?
Game Boy Advanced or the GameCube.
Yeah.
So obviously the graphics are a lot better, but the story graphics are really tight too, because they're kind of like an anime cel-shaded type,
mm-hmm.
while the map is not. The map is regular polygonal graphics.
Mm-hmm.
There's a few interesting little additions that they added, like... they have characters, a new character class, they're like shapeshifters, and they can turn into tigers and bears and stuff, depending on the situation. It looks like a really awesome game.
That sounds awesome. What's the combat like in that, though?
It's a lot like Advance Wars in the fact where...
It plays just the same like that, though?
Kinda.
Okay.
Let's say you have... A Pegasus Knight, he's a lancer on a Pegasus, so he can fly all over the place, really far. But anything like an archer or a mage or something can whoop his ass, right?
Oh.
So he goes in, then they attack. Then since you attacked first, you attack. Then he attacks, and depending on which kind of weapon you have. Will also depend on how much damage you do, like, because there's a triangle, like a...
And you can put gear and stuff on your dudes? That's bad.
And healing items. Right, and
that's cool. That's cool.
And so maybe you have a knight that has a lance and a sword. And so lances are going to work better against people who are carrying swords and worse than people who are wearing axes. And
you know, this sounds a lot like, god damn, what's that game called? Like, Disciples. Like, because you don't do the combat. It just does the combat, right?
Right,
right. Right, okay. Okay, that's cool. Disciples had something like that, too, where you just kind of watch the combat, which is cool. You know, and for a game like that, it sounds like it works really well.
I thought Disciples was a lot more like...
Heroes.
Yeah.
It's a lot like that, but you don't do the combat in Disciples, which was why it sucked. Because, you wanted heroes, but you didn't do the combat in that. But the cool part about Heroes was taking a piddly-ass army and whooping some giant army's ass using strategy during the combat. That's why I wasn't sure if you got to do the battles or what. Okay.
No, it's a lot more like Advance Wars like that.
All right. Well, that's fun, too.
But the strategy comes in what gear you're wearing, what you put on the guy.
Yeah, absolutely.
And in this GameCube one, everybody gets skills, too, and you can choose what skills he's going to use. And stuff like that. And then it's just a single turn.
Oh, okay.
So you do choose
battle
tactics.
Yeah. Well, that's good, too.
And then it goes one turn.
Okay. I was a little worried about that. God damn, that sounds awesome.
It is.
It looks pretty good, too. The graphics are pretty slick on it. I like the way that looks. It does look pretty good.
And it'll be nice playing that kind of game on a big screen.
Yeah, well, because I'm getting tired of playing Zelda and crap on my TV, you know? Like Game Boy Zelda, you know? It's like I've got the Game Boy player. I play more Game Boy games through my GameCube than I do GameCube games. Okay, so it's like I have justified the purchase of my GameCube now. through Game Boy Advance. And that's fine. Hey, I'm cool with that. I like being able to sit at home and play, because I've discovered I have a hell of a hard time playing these little handheld games around the house. Like we've said a couple times before, most of the time when I'm able to play a Game Boy Advance game, I'm laying in bed about to pass out anyway, and I get 20 minutes in. I've discovered, though, I keep forgetting I own this thing, the Game Boy player. Right. I keep forgetting I have it. And the other day, I popped in Zelda and was like, oh, you know, I'm gonna sit here and do this for a while, you know. Play on the TV, though. And it was cool. It was all good. You know, it felt right. It felt like I was back playing the original Zelda, you know. It was sweet. And, if you would have been here 2 days ago, or at least this morning before I cleaned up, you would know that some serious gaming got accomplished in this house this week. And I don't know how it gets in everybody else's house, but in my house, when you know some hard gaming is getting done, there's a few telltale signs. One, there's empty soda cans and shit everywhere, right? Bags of chips and pretzels.
It tends to be a bit of a pyramid for me.
That's what happens here, and it's near the garbage can. I attempted to throw it that direction. But see, there's like a good 8 feet, 6 to 8, 10, no, man, it's like pretty far, actually, probably 10 feet from the garbage can. And I've discovered that the couch is no good. Because you know what happens when I play the games on the couch? I fall asleep. Mm. Right? So I discovered the beanbags just in front of the couch, right? And I'm like the perfect distance, and you're on the floor, so you really can't get any lazier, okay? Now, another telltale sign. How much of your bed is in the living room? When you've got like your main pillow and your fucking comforter with you, and you're kicking it in the living room, you know it's time to game it out something fierce that day, okay? When you've got your remote controls laid out, you've got the telephone by you, you know, you've got it all. It's the scene. You will not have to leave. And I've only got one flaw, my whole little world of gaming that I can build for myself.
And that's bedpan?
That too is the computer. The problem is the computer.
Yeah, because it's way up here.
You know, well, I've discovered that it's better to not have the computer as a distraction, is what it is. Like, I'm all for having, like, 8 monitors in a row. I used to have a setup like that, where I had, like, 4 monitors and a TV. And I used to just, you know, I could be chatting on one and coding movies with another, surfing with the other one, and doing something else with another, playing a game. You know? And then I would have a TV going where I'm watching a movie on one, and I'm playing a game, and it's just, no. It's way too much. It's okay. It's great. It does work. But, you know, it works good when you're trying to avoid work. You know, like if you have a project or something, that's when I can switch on all that crap so it looks like I'm busy. But when I want to sit down and when I want to get some serious time focused in on a game, I've got to turn the computer off. Otherwise, I keep glancing at it because people are talking to me. And it drives me insane. I can't stand it. I try to sit down for 10 minutes and always somebody wants to know something, you know, whether it's my sister or another family member or a friend of mine or somebody asking some question about something. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, the little messenger thing will pop up or AIM or whatever it is, you know. And you're just like, oh, you can't do that because you keep looking over at it and you're distracted. But man, I'll tell you what, this place was a gaming heaven the other day. I fell asleep on the couch. You know, I mean, I was that close to it, and most of the bed sheets and crap were out here in the living room anyway. It was awesome. I'm betting that a lot of people get like that, you know, like when they're just going to play for like 8-10 hours and they know it.
I tend to stay in my chair anyway, but I will grab a blanket, throw that over me. It's kicking back. So I have the computer right next to me. Right. And the worst part is, when I'm in a serious gamer mode, I'll end up with that pyramid of cans. But the trash can's right next to me.
That's
but
the best
I have
part.
Like 2 seconds in between swinging that sword to set the can down
exactly.
So I can keep going.
Exactly. You can't be asked to make this, you know, precision shots into the garbage can. You're busy trying to save the world here. Can't they see that?
That's right.
That's the flaw. Nobody else understands.
And
you
the
know,
pause button's cheating.
You know, right. You know, that's why I'd rather just assume unplug the telephone than talk to somebody most of the time. It's like, damn it, I'm going to die talking to your dumb ass. So, this happened to me yesterday. I sat down and I gamed out for 8 hours without so much as doing another goddamn thing, and it was wonderful. That doesn't happen a lot anymore because I'm too distracted. Like I said, it's the computer I've discovered. It's my only flaw. And it's half EverQuest's fault, too. I'm always looking over at the screen. Did I, you know, is anybody sending me a message? You know, yeah, exactly. Have I sold anything yet? You know, it's a distraction. I gotta cut that out. And that's why not very many games get played around here, but I did manage to play E6 Ark of Nephthysm this week for, probably 8 hours yesterday. Probably somewhere between 8 and 10. I actually lost track of time, and it was like late when I quit playing. Because
eyes
were burning. And you know when you know it, when you wake up the next day, like when I woke up this morning, the first thing I thought of was that game. And oh my god, I don't know where I am. Or what I was doing, because I was so tired when I was playing. I was out there kicking some ass that I forgot where I was. And I was just so into just destroying guys, I forgot. But I'll tell you what, this game, seriously, has one flaw, as far as I'm concerned. One flaw. And I'm going to get that out of the way first. It has a flaw, and it has an annoyance. The annoyance is, it doesn't always give you super good direction. You know, now, I expect that in an older game, like The Legend of Zelda. If you were to fire up The Legend of Zelda, the first one, the original Legend of Zelda today, and not having played it before, you wouldn't know what the fuck to do or where to go. Mm-hmm. You honestly would not know where level one is. You honestly would not know what to do with it. Now, you know, there's a certain amount of that's okay. And this does, it should be okay here, but it bothers me because unfortunately it's been 20 years
it's
since
not what you're
Zelda.
Used to anymore.
Exactly. And I want to know where I'm supposed to go if I would like to advance. Now, granted, it's my fault because I'm lazy. I hate talking to people in town. You know, I hate going to a town and talking to every NPC 27 times till he tells me where I'm supposed to go, what I'm supposed to do. That doesn't suffer from this problem. That's on the positive note. But there's a problem with this game. The one flaw with this game, and unfortunately this directly affects the seriously, this game has $49 written all over it. Mm-hmm. Except for the one flaw is that it's too short. This game is incredibly short. And it almost feels to me like they tried to extend it by adding these little, they call them like trials or something. And there's like, as far as I can tell, I'm on the third one right now. I don't think there's one after that, though. And it's just like a quick little romp through like three levels where it's like a ramped up difficulty as opposed to like a normal zone where it's like the enemies are a little bit tougher or it's like enemies from the next place that you'd be going, so they're really hard. And then a boss fight. Mm-hmm. And the boss is just, you know, really, really tough because maybe you don't have a sword that'll hurt him that well or whatever. And it just seems like they kind of tacked that on almost afterwards, it seems like. I don't know why. It just seems like an afterthought. Like, because I didn't even know I could do it. You know, I mean, I'm playing along and I'm 7-8 hours into it. And I've got this stupid little feather thing, which I've never used. It's supposed to warp you out of dungeons and crap. Mm-hmm. But when you clicked it, I needed a warp finally. So I was like, well, I'll use this thing. And I had two options, escape and warp. And I'm like, okay, well, what the hell is which? I guess escape gets me out of the dungeon, so what does warp do? So I hit warp, thinking it would take me to the town. Mm-hmm. Takes you to the first trial. I don't remember that being explained to me anywhere. So I don't know whether I forgot to just talk to one NPC somewhere that would drop some knowledge on me or what, but I did not know about this. So it was like, when I found it, it was like, oh, cool, there's something else to do, because there's so little to do. The big fun for this for me is having a really clear set goal. It's really simple. This is one of the good things this game has going for it. For the most part, it's go talk to this guy. You talk to him, he tells you something about something's lost. Okay. Have fun, go kill some stuff for a while, on your way there you might find it. And sure enough, I'm cruising around, I go through a dungeon or something, and bam, here's the missing whatever it is. I take it back to the guy, he tells me good job, gives me a new sword. I'm a happy camper.
I like a complex game, depending on the situation, but for something like this, simple is good. It's nice to be able to just kick back and whoop some ass.
That's exactly what you get to do in this. Now, I've been comparing this to games like Champions of Norrath, Baldur's Gate Dark Alliance, and a lot of people are going to look right at both of these games, you know, or all three of these games, and say, well, they're the same. Well, that's not entirely true, because I'll tell you what, I enjoyed this. Now, everybody, if you've listened to the show, you know how much I like Baldur's Gate Dark Alliance 1 and 2 and Champions of Norrath. Mm-hmm. I dig these kind of games. But this game, far and away, kicks the shit out of those other games. And I have a hard time figuring out why. It's just, I think a lot of it comes down to combat. I can wander around and just randomly kill stuff all day, and it's fun. The combat in this is a lot of fun. It's not like Baldur's Gate or the other one, where you're like blocking the first hit all the time because you know that they're going to hit you first otherwise. So you block, then you hear the shing, then you attack when you kill him. And the next enemy comes up, and you block again, and you deflect his shot, and you stab him again. It's not like that. This, you can't block. You know, you run in there, and you just whoop some ass, and you kill everything, and it's awesome. The moves are extremely fluid. The guy moves like a, you know, he's just a dancer or something. He's awesome out there, but not okay. Right. You know, it's really, really cool. You've got a bunch of different, you've got three different swords, which, you know, I think we talked about when we played the demo a while back, just briefly, but you basically start out with this ghetto little sword, you know, which is just like a regular sword. Your pirate ship wrecks, you wind up on this island. If anybody knows the story from Ease, it's like this island in this big cloud, and you get there, but you can't leave, and this guy always winds up there to save the place and do all this crap, and there's these three dragon things that were coming down, and there's these weird fairies that were spotted around the area lately, and anyway, now I'm here, and I'm the great red-haired warrior that's supposed to fucking save the planet and shit, you know, and here I am. So it's cool. And you're wandering around, and you're making friends with some of the people in the town, and, like, one of the girls gets attacked by this dragon thing. Well, being the badass warrior I am, you know, because I ran around the first level, you know, like, the first couple, like, zones, like, right out in front of the main town for quite some time, that I was, like, level 8 or something already, you know, I was all decked out to begin with. So I rolled out there finally, and I took on the dragon, and I whooped his ass, and you, turns out you can't kill these kind of creatures with your regular sword. Well, my sword broke at the end of the combat, and I messed it up pretty bad, but you can't kill anything. Well, somebody from the town found out I was out there fighting, and they came out to go, like, hunt this dragon, but I'd already kicked its ass, and they killed it. And they were like, oh, dude, you're incredible if you're able to hurt these things with a regular weapon, but your sword broke. So here, you know, is one of our enchanted blades that, you know, this is what you need to fight out here. Well, these swords, you start out with, like, the Sword of Wind or whatever, it's blue, and it kicks major ass. So I thought, okay, well, I'm the man, you know, I got a nice new sword now. This game plays a lot, to me, like Crystalis, another game I'm a huge fan of. Back on the Nintendo Entertainment System, there was a game called Crystalis, which I probably played more than I played The Legend of Zelda. I played that game a lot. This game rules. You get, like, upgrades to your swords, you get, you know, it's real simple. Three swords, you know, four swords, whatever the hell it was in that one. You've got, it shows you how many inventory slots are possible, so you know exactly if you've missed an item in the game as you're playing. You know that if you've got every shield, there should not be a hole in your line there. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's pretty basic and pretty simple. The problem is, it's not long enough in this. You know, you get the first sword, you're kicking some ass, you have to walk through this little tiny dungeon, and then you end up getting the second sword. You know, they send you out to, where is it? You go to this town. Let me think here. You kill this dragon, you walk seriously through like a 5-room dungeon. It's really small, right? You go to this town, talk to some people, they send you up this hill. So of course, instead of going out and doing it right away, I wandered around and kicked some ass, because I like that, you know, I like being able to afford the badass armor in the store, you know? So I went out, I got all that crap, hiked up this mountain, and the combat is just badass. It's fun. I ran around there forever, but you get another sword, like, right away. So now I got the flame sword. Well, then they say, okay, well, now you need to go here. And I remember walking past it, so it's like I'm backtracking already. You know, the place is really small. I mean, it takes you like 5 minutes to walk the length of the damn island in this game. That's it. It's just really, really small and short. That's the only really bad side of it. But everything else makes up for it. The music in it was fantastic. Very happy fantasy type stuff. You know, something like you'd expect to find in one of the better animes out there. Really good music. The sounds are awesome. The combat sounds. Your guy has the whole sword swooshing sound and everything, right. You know? It sounds fantastic. And one of the things that I thought was going to suck, but turned out to be, well, probably some of the best I've heard in a long time, is the voice acting. Everybody talks, and they speak really, really well. It sounds really good. It didn't have the problem that Tales of Symphonia had either, where it, like, clips off when you stop it or anything. None of that nonsense. This was flawless. Nobody sounded ridiculous. Nobody sounded like they were straining to do an accent or anything. It sounded great. I mean, it was perfect, you know? The combat is great. The simple towns were a nice touch, too. I'm sick and tired of these games where you've got, like, a full-fledged town. Okay, great. Where's the shop, and where's the dude I need to talk to? The only two things I need in the town. And then they have you off talking to 700 different people that don't say anything interesting. Every single person I've spoken to says something different when I do a major, like, event. And since the towns and everything are really close, I'm back in the same towns an awful lot, right? I keep going between, like, the two towns a lot. And everybody changes what they say depending on the very last thing that happened to me. You know, whether it was, like, killed, you know, the first dragon, or I found out a bridge was collapsed, or I, you know, went so far as to even pick up one single item. Everybody, like, changed what they said. And there was, like, whole things going on in the town, like, you find out some lady can't cook and her daughter's pissed at her or some shit, and she goes over to the neighbor's house who's training her how to cook, and it's like, you know, stupid, but there's not 500 people with dumb, useless stories like that. There's three, you know? It's really, really cool, really plain and simple. That's all you need, you know? You get the guy who's buys and sells gear. Then you have, and this was a nice thing to discover, so I didn't read the manual, which is why I feel like I should have known some of this crap ahead of time.
I never read those things.
I like to, but I rarely, rarely do. You can upgrade your swords. So once you get these three swords of kick-ass, they're basically just plain swords you run around and swing. Well, as you kill enemies, they drop these little crystals, and you pick up these crystals, and you take them to this dude who can basically upgrade the weapon. And it starts out real easy, 5 crystals. Almost everything you kill drops one of these crystals, it seems like, you know, maybe every third monster or something. So it's fine, 5 of them. Then he wants 10. Then he wants, by level 6 of your sword, he wants like 600, and then he wants 1500, and then he wants like 4000. Mm-hmm. But your swords get to be like the uber thing. I mean, they just get to be decked out. You've got the flame sword, shoots this long thing of fire out of it. You know, you've got the wind one, which obviously throws up some kind of like hurricane, tornado type deal, right. And then you've got the weird electricity one, which shoots like this bolt out of it, which is really cool. And then on top of these super special moves, which you have to like basically build up mana for, mm-hmm. you've got like a combo attack move where, you know, you've got your regular swings, but like every couple, so often you'll hit it and the guy will do an AoE if you've got the wind sword and he'll spin in a circle and just hit yeah. everything around him. A lot better than the way that Link does it in Legend of Zelda. I can't stand that charging crap.
Yeah!
Yeah, that's right. I hate that. You know, and the way you gotta hold it down and charge right. it and then let it go, that sucks. Why can't I be swinging and then hit another button and then do it, you know? And then you've got the flame sword, which you hold down the X button, and you shoot out like this little short flame burst kind of thing. I'm not quite sure how to describe it any better than that. Almost like a flame whip comes out of it yeah. real quick. Like, whoosh. And then you've got the yellow one, which, like, you bolt forward in this, like, lightning bolt, and you just rip in pieces everything directly in front of you for quite some distance. It's really cool. So you've got all these other things to work with, plus you keep upgrading your sword, and they get, you know, you get more powerful, they do more damage, but you can also get things like mana regen on them, you know, then you, also, the magic wasn't there. You don't get those special magic abilities until you upgrade it too, so you really have to keep on top of it. So for people that like walking around and killing stuff, there's a benefit to it. You can get the fat uber sword. The problem is the game is just damn short. It's just way too short. For it's an incredible amount of fun, and it needs to be like 5 times as long. And this game is so deserving of a $50. It really is. But because it's so damn short, it can't be better than a $30 to $35 game for anybody else. I hate to say it. It pains me to say that. It's like God of War. You know, yeah. it's you know, you got a fat game.
It should be better.
And it should be worthy of the $50 rating, the seal of approval, you know? But it's not, because it's too damn short.
Because $50 is a lot for 8 hours of enjoyment.
It is. It is, you know? And that's the only downside that I can find with this game. And that's kind of a bummer. I didn't mean to talk about that for so long, but it's just that good. The easy-to-follow story, everything's just... Bam, here it is. Have a good time. What else did we have here? This other game that I saw called Restricted Area coming out for the PC. April 18th, as a matter of fact, only 8 more days. Ever played Fallout? Post-apocalyptic
Sadly,
RPG?
No.
No, yeah, I actually haven't either. Oh,
I've been told like...
Check on the emails. Now.
You can kind of hear the groaning.
Yep. Oh,
from the future.
Yeah. Now, in an effort to just to avoid this email, not only do I own both of them here, they're both here. I have both of them.
Now you're definitely getting
it. Yeah, I know. I have attempted to play it, but I wanted to play the first one, and it was just so dated I couldn't do it. I was like, I can't play this fucking
game. I have that trouble too.
So now some games I can look past the sands of time and I can get over it. Some games I can't, and I couldn't do it with Fallout 1. I never tried 2 because I wanted to play 1 first, so I never gave it a shot. But for some reason, this came up when I thought about this because it reminds me of this world, the Fallout-type world.
Right.
It's a little mix of that and the little Diablo all in one. It's called Restricted Area. Basically, it's in the future, and we fucked up. Earth got tore to shit because we basically polluted it. And there's, like, nothing but wasteland now, right? Everything is all tore up, except for the big-ass cities and everything, which are ran by massive corporations. These huge companies are controlling the people now. They are the government. They are the law now. And basically, these corporations hire agents to do basically anything. You do their bidding, whatever it is, whether it's information gathering or killing people or getting rid of, you know, whatever. That's what they do. They hire these agents, you know, these special agent guys to do this stuff. And the game is, you are one of these agents to do whatever the company asks. Now, that's the only flaw in the story that I've come across. What the fuck is the point of this game? It's like I'm not trying to save the world. I'm not saving a princess. And everything I read was just that I'm an agent who works for a corporation.
I kind of like that.
I don't like that.
It's about time we're not saving the world.
I've gotten accustomed to saving the world, though, you know, or the solar system or something, something large, you know. Like, if I want a game where there's very little, well, there's not a direction, you know, that's, it seems like it's almost a storyline reserved for an MMORPG, you know, to where you can do whatever the hell you want, go have fun, knock yourself out. And so I don't know, like, if I'm just missed the story or what, but I couldn't find it. I couldn't find it, anything that told me what I was supposed to do in this game or why I was doing it, I guess. You know, there's plenty of stuff to
for
do.
Money.
What's the... Am I supposed to just become the richest person there is? That's not very fun. That's not half as cool as saving the world. I don't know.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, I don't know. It actually looks pretty fun, though. If it plays a lot like Diablo, doesn't look like Diablo, and is taking place in a non-fantasy setting, you know, a lot of people might really, really like that. Now, I, on the other hand, not a too big fan of anything that's not, you know medieval-type fantasy stuff. I like that. But this did look pretty cool. I do know who the characters are, too. Check this out. You got a guy named Johnson. Heavy weapons. Lots of ranged stuff. Plasma throwers and flamethrowers. Pretty awesome.
All right.
You've got a guy named Kenji Takahashi. Something about running from the Yakuza or something, and one day he's going to return to power. Sword fighter.
Huh.
Then you got two chicks, which I think are infinitely cooler than the dudes. Listen to this. Victoria Williams. Psionicist. She got mind powers and shit. How cool is that? And probably, arguably the best one, Jessica Parker. Hacker. How cool is that? I don't know, it sounds fun, but it sounds a lot like Diablo. Mm-hmm. You know, basically you run around, kill shit, gain experience, put points into whatever you want more points in to be better at. You also have abilities, you get to put points into your abilities. So you have stats and abilities. And you can basically build your guide however you want, which seems like it'd be pretty cool. I don't know anything about the multiplayer end of this yet, so I don't know if it's just like a tag team romp through, you know, hordes of dudes like Diablo, or if it's some kind of a player versus player battle system, or I don't know. I have no idea. And you can also get like implants and stuff for your guy, which is kind of cool. You know, like little augmentations. Mm-hmm. That'll help out with, like, health regen or boost up your stats or whatever, something like that. But that's all I know about it. But it does sound kind of fun. So I think that's a good idea to keep an eye on that game. It's called Restricted Area. And this just came out of nowhere. I've never heard of this game before.
Yeah, I haven't either.
And it's due out in 8 days. April 18th.
Speaking of soon due dates, Jade Empire is in 2 days on the 12th. So by the time you guys hear this, it'll be out.
It'll be out the day before this airs, yeah.
So
it was out yesterday. And it's a fat game because we played it. Wouldn't that be awesome? We could do reviews from the future, in the past, but in the future when it airs.
Right.
Right. That would be sweet. Jade Empire, which actually is getting some pretty damn good reviews everywhere.
It's getting really good reviews everywhere, but it was getting really good hype, too. So.
Yes, it was. It was. I know. And unfortunately, that's exactly why I can't listen to the reviews, because I know the hype of that game, like quite a few games that are out currently, that everybody's convinced are still awesome. I don't know. It seemed like it was a lot of hype for...
But I'm really bad with hype.
I'm pretty bad myself.
I'm a brainwashed kind of guy.
Did you watch any movies this week?
I don't think so. I did watch some awesome TV.
You did?
That I would like to...
TV? Yeah. Let's go ahead.
It's over now. Just last week, I think, it was the season finale of Battlestar Galactica. If you like sci-fi stuff, this is a primo show. The premise is... Man invented... intelligent robots. Intelligent robots revolt and start a war.
Okay.
Man wins, but not like totally destroys the robots. They all flee. And then like 40 years go by, and there's the main planet and 12 colony planets. So there's a lot of humans now. And then 40 years go by, and the Cylons, or what they're called, come back And in a blitz, like, 1 hour period, nuke all 13 planets.
Oh, crap.
Just like to shit. So there's now 50,000 humans that were out in space flying around, not on these planets, that survived. And one battleship. And they're just, like, running away from the Cylons because they're trying to totally wipe out human civilization. It's a really cool show. The dogfights and stuff out in space are just really well done. It made me go and reinstall Free Space and play that a little lot. So I just had to get in the cockpit or something.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it is a really good show. This season's over. So, but
I've never seen it. Not even one episode.
It's good.
I've been watching a bunch of crap TV.
It's good. Well, there's just a few things that you've been watching that are good.
Lost. Lost is good.
Lost, I don't think we've even mentioned that yet.
Probably not. We don't talk about TV, but every so often, like every 6 months TV comes up.
Yeah. Lost is a really good show, too. It'd be tough to get in right now, though.
It would, but you absolutely have to watch it from the beginning.
Yeah.
And it's worth it. It is worth watching. And you need to get, I'm sorry, but you know, if they're not going to put this kind of stuff up for reruns, you're going to have to go download it. Simply put, go find it. You know, there's a few websites out there where if you look hard enough, they're not hard to find. I'm sure you can go do
Lost
something.
Is really popular.
It is. It's especially for Lost. I wouldn't doubt there's like whole sites dedicated to just episodes of Lost either. I wouldn't doubt that. Now, we can't say, you shouldn't go do this because it's illegal, but you know, it would probably be worth it to go attempt to watch this thing because the chances of getting caught are pretty slim. It's a good show. And
Basically, the premise of that, if you don't know, is there's a commercial airliner that has some kind of problem, and they have to turn around and start going back. And so they're on a completely different trajectory than they were supposed to be on. And then something goes wrong with the plane, an engine explodes or something, and they crash land on this island hundreds of miles away from anywhere near where they were supposed to be. Okay, and so the rescue teams can't find them. They figure
they don't even know where they were supposed to be.
They're hundreds of miles away from where they're supposed to be. So
where they are, yeah.
Yeah. The rescue teams can't find them, and they give up, at least as far as we know.
Yeah.
But there's something really strange about this island going on. And they do a really good job of asking questions and then not answering them. So they're... You get all these, like, what the fuck's going on?
Yeah, every week ends in a cliffhanger. You're just sitting there just going, oh, come on, you can't end this like this. And I hate to admit it, I got really hooked on this goddamn TV show. It's like the highlight of my week is you know, watching this, hoping they'll get back to one of the parts that they dropped on us 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, so they land all these cliffhangers, and then next week they don't answer the cliffhanger.
Yeah, they give you another one.
Yeah.
Right? But then, like, maybe the third week, they'll go back to the first one, And then
give you a little teaser.
Yeah.
Like, add just a little bit. And usually it's adding more questions instead of answering the other
ones. It's messed up. It's the way that they're filmed, I think. The way that like it plays is really good, too. It's not just chilling on an island.
No.
You know, it's not like you're just how these guys are surviving on an island. It's like it takes every episode takes like a character and goes into his past. And the first round trip, you know, like the first 10 episodes of the 10 main characters was one episode to each character where... Shit was happening on the island, though. Like, there was still, in present time in the story, you know, there's something on the island that's chasing them around.
They're flashback into their lives back in the real world.
At the same time. And all this crazy shit's happening. All of a sudden, you're seeing, like, one of the guys, you know, he's a doctor, you know, and they show him back and his issues with his father and blah, 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 and how he wound up on the airplane to Australia or from Australia.
And those situations are creating even more questions because it's like they're all strangely connected in the real world.
Yeah, that's the weirdest part. You know, and then they got the fat kid who won the lottery, blew my mind.
Yeah, and the week before they hinted at it because he was on the TV of the Japanese guys.
Oh, really? I didn't even see that.
They're panning in when the Japanese guy is in that other family's house.
Yeah.
And the chick, little girl's watching TV.
Right, right.
They pan across it, and there's Hurley sitting on the TV.
No
I'm like,
way!
What the hell's going on there?
I didn't even catch that. That's awesome.
That nice. All kinds of really weird tie-ins that bring everybody, like they're supposed to be on this island.
Mm-hmm. Like Claire, the pregnant chick.
Yeah.
You know, she had a psychic tell her that she had to raise her baby who she was putting up for adoption.
And he's all, here, take this plane ticket and go here.
Yeah. What the hell? Then this is the one that winds up crashing. You know, you've got, what else did we have that was really weird? That thing in the ground. There's Locke, who's, I think, one of the baddest-ass characters in this thing.
But also the weirdest.
He's really creepy, but he's a badass. This is like, I know a lot of people like this guy, though. You know, they're quiet, they seem like they stay out of the way, and, you know, they go home and they got, like, machine guns and knives and shit everywhere, and 48-ish, you know, years worth of guns and ammo and all this, but they know what's going on. You know, they could survive if it came down to it, you know, and so... You know, they got this guy on the island who's got all these knives, and he's a real tough guy and everything, who can't walk. But he can now.
Yeah. Before the crash, he was in a wheelchair, paralyzed from the waist down. The thing, as soon as he gets on the island, all of a sudden he can walk.
And it's really, really weird. The show's messed up, but it's really good. I mean, they find this bunker or something, too. This is like currently like probably the biggest, weirdest thing that's going on.
Yeah.
There's like this underground thing. Like they lock and what was the dude's name? Like the kid. Can't remember what his name is. Wandered out into the woods. Ah, nice. Wandered out and they found this like metal thing in the ground with like a window in it, but you can't see inside of it. So for like the last couple weeks on the show, they'll show them out there trying to find new ways to get into it. And they can't do it, right? And then, like, the last one that was not last week's, though, of course. This was the week before last. They end it where a light comes on inside of it.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, oh, son of a bitch, you know? I can't wait for next week. But then they don't even mention it next week.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, it's a really good show, though. I mean,
Barring all that frustration, it's well worth the frustration.
I was a disbeliever. When I first started watching it, episode 10 was just out. But finally, I was convinced to start watching it. So, it's probably really is the best thing going on TV right now. I'm pretty sure it's the most popular show on TV at this point.
As far as regular real shows go, I'd have to agree. There's probably stuff like American Idol and all that crap that
doesn't count anyway.
And neither does the news.
Yeah. That shouldn't count either.
But of fiction, real TV, that is probably.
I don't know if this airs in other countries either. But I'll tell you what, you know. The internet knows no bounds, and it might be worth checking out because, you know, I mean, I'm a big fan of watching something while I'm playing games that I don't need to be paying attention to. So I end up watching a lot of movies, and rarely does some kind of a TV show catch my interest. I can't stand TV, and yet this crap, I'm hooked on. It's really good.
There's a few of them. There's also House.
I was just going to mention that next. House is another show that's... It takes a certain kind of viewer, I think, though. Because, basically, those who... Like... I don't know. My life goal is to become House, I'm pretty sure. This he's a doctor, and he's basically an asshole to everybody, but he's always right. And it's perfect.
He's this man-hating, I mean, man as in human.
Human, yeah, right.
Yeah, person, and he's just this crotchety old bastard, walks around with a cane, popping Vicodin every 12 seconds.
And he's like...
He's like giving it to the customer. Yeah. Hey, you want a Vicodin?
He's mean to everybody. It's fantastic. And it's cool because they have a story, you know, about, like, he works in a hospital and, like, you know, it opens up every time with somebody getting sick, usually instantly. Somebody's, you know, like
And we're not talking, like...
The flu. This is like, you know, they burst into flames.
Yeah. Like something way out of the way that, like, every three years one person gets...
Right, exactly, yeah. I mean, but it could happen, and it can, I'm sure, and it has, I'm sure. That's the thing about this show, which makes it good, is they gotta figure out what's wrong with the person. So it's, of course, they've got a staff of younger doctors, and of course House is yelling at him, and half the time you think he knows the minute the person walks in, but he wants to see how long it takes the other guys to figure it out. You know, it's a pretty good show just to hear the guy just tear down everybody. I love it. I love this fucking show. It's great. I don't know. There's a guy at work, actually, that I got watching it, too, and he's just like, yeah, that's the shit.
I'm a little worried about it, though.
Yeah, I know.
The last couple episodes, they, like, retooled something pretty hardcore.
They have, and I don't like where it's going now.
And I'm a little worried that it might be not doing well enough, and they decided they had to change some stuff up.
Yep, that's what I'm betting exactly what's happening, because the last couple episodes have been really weird and really not usual, and I haven't really liked them that much, because they're trying to change something, and I'm not too happy, because I like the show the way it is, but it must not be making killer ratings, you know, unfortunately.
They seem to be really hard on the rating system this last year.
They really
do. Like, unless something's like cream of the crop, uber 10 billion people are watching it, they cancel it.
Yeah, even popular, really popular shows are getting dropped or being threatened to be dropped.
Yeah.
You know, shows that were doing super fat last season, they're like, you guys got to crank it up a notch or you're not going to make it. You know, and it's like, God damn.
And like every show I like is in danger of being canceled. It's like, what the hell?
That True Calling show that I really liked to watch last year, you know, they made 6 episodes in the second season, aired in New Zealand. They didn't air them over here yet. Actually, they just started, actually. Yeah. There's 6 episodes. I think the 3rd one just aired here. It's a pretty good show. It had a lot of promise, and it wasn't your average... It wasn't fucking Friends.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't a ghetto-ass sitcom, you know? And I think what's happening is I think that's what they're looking for. They're looking for the next ghetto-ass sitcom that's like Friends 2. I swear to God. They're just rolling through the shows until they find the one that hits... And they got to cancel everything in between. And I think they're probably going to steamroll over a bunch of really good stuff, unfortunately.
And they are, too.
There is. Yeah, there's a lot of good stuff out there. I'm pretty upset that a lot... But there's a lot of crap. You ever seen that show, Cuts?
No.
It's got... What's her name? I said her name, I think, backwards. Elizabeth... What's Shannon? Shannon Elizabeth? Elizabeth Shannon. What the fuck's her name?
Taylor?
Shannon? What?
Is her last name Taylor?
No. Her name is Shannon Elizabeth or Elizabeth Shannon. One of the two.
Oh.
She's Nadia on American Pie.
Oh, okay.
Right? She's in a show about, like, a salon. A haircutting salon.
Ugh!
Right? It's terrible. Terrible. No. Wait. You got the terrible show.
Oh, my God. So, I can't believe I didn't mention this last week.
I can't either. Yeah, I think we were... Yeah, I remember thinking about it, too.
Life on a frickin' stick. Life on a stick. This is a sitcom about 3 people who work in a hot dog on a stick stand in a mall. You know, where the you got the people in the crazy tall hats and they're jumping on the lemonade thing,
yeah.
Making the lemonade that place. It's like you get the writers from That 70s Show, and they gave each one of them a lobotomy and then set them in front of a typewriter and had them start making a new show.
It's terrible.
It is so bad. And it's chock full of canned laughter that's so bad. Like every 10 seconds that... Sometimes no one's even saying anything all of a sudden because someone pressed the button at the wrong time.
That's terrible.
Oh.
There's some, and the worst part is, how did that make it? How did Cuts get on? Cuts is a terrible show. I don't understand how this stuff.
Yeah, it makes you wonder, what exactly did they turn down?
Really.
For every pilot that makes it on, there was 15 ideas and they picked one.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's terrible.
And they thought that this might make it, and yet they're canceling. Like Star Trek, or they're canceling...
Joan of Arcadia, they're threatening to cancel that, too. That was supposedly did really good last season. You know, it's like, God damn it, you know?
It was better last season than it is this season.
Yeah, absolutely. I must admit I'm still watching this Lifetime TV for women. Once in a while, you know, you gotta get your estrogen flow on, you know? I did watch a few movies this week, though. Brand new ones, well, not brand new, at least in the theater, but new on DVD.
Mm-hmm.
I did manage to watch Final Cut. This is with Robin Williams, and there's that company called Zoe that like puts those implants in people, and it records their entire life. And then
I don't think I've ever heard of
really?
This.
Really? Yeah, I heard about it a long time ago, then poof, it disappeared. I heard nothing about it, and then I found myself at Blockbuster the other day going, oh my God, I wanted to see this. And basically, it's in the future, of course, and this company has this thing they can implant into your brain, and it records your entire life through your eyes. Every fucking moment of your day has been recorded now, right? And they don't tell you until you're, like, 21. So, like, your parents decide, we're going to have a Zoe implant in our child. So they put it in there, but they won't tell you until you're, like, 21. And like, anyway, it gets into the whole thing where Robin Williams is what they call a cutter. I can't remember his first, he's Mr. Hackman. And they call him a cutter. And he basically, his job is to take people's lives when they die. He gets the extraction. He has their whole life in front of him, and he cuts it like a film. The final edit guy on like a film, you know, goes over it, takes out the worthless crap. You know, I mean, how many times you got to watch this guy masturbate? So you cut all that out.
Right.
You put in when he wins a baseball game, a happy moment. Basically, they make a movie of their life through his eyes. you know, from birth to death. And they make a really kick-ass movie, and then they show it at your funeral. So your whole family can watch your whole life in, you know, a few minutes or whatever, you know. And apparently Mr. Hackman here, Robin Williams, is the guy. He's the best one. He is the best one out there. It's really an interesting idea, and it played out really well. They did a good job, but I think they could have done so much better with that whole story. Because it could have got really, really in-depth. Mm-hmm. You know, and they could have got really out there. They could have got really freaky. They had a few moments where... And there's like a whole sect of people in the present-day world, you know, where they don't believe in that kind of thing. So they don't know if they have it or not, so they found ways to block it. Like with these, some kind of crazy tattoo kind of shit, you know, you get like, so you see people walk around these crazy tattoos and it scrambles the signals to the recorder because they expect their whole life to be their experience, you mm-hmm. know? It's pretty interesting, you know, and it gets into this whole murder plotline thing, which is where I think it goes downhill. The whole idea of like, a weird, I don't know, it becomes like a murder mystery almost kind of thing, almost like you're trying to puzzle solve things. It just kind of like, it's kind of, wow, that was a cheesy way to go with this, you know? It's wow, you should have done something else because you had something really cool here. Mm-hmm. But it was still pretty good and absolutely worth watching, and it was better than almost everything else that I've seen in a long time. It was pretty good. I would probably have to say out of like, what are we doing now, $8.50? I know, movie prices keep going up, though.
Yeah.
So out of $8.50, it's probably a good solid $5.50. Okay. It's definitely worth renting. And you will sit there and go, wow, that was a good movie, but it wasn't a mind-blowing movie. It wasn't fascinating. I mean, it was pretty interesting, though. Not bad. Then I watched this other movie called After the Sunset. And it was so bad, I watched half of it. So...
I don't think I've ever heard of that one, either.
It's got James Bond in it. What's his name? Pierce
Brosnan?
Yeah, yeah. It's got him in it. And it's not very good, either.
I haven't been paying attention to movies for quite some time, anyway. Except for Star Wars. Star Wars is coming out soon, and I'm all about it.
Oh, no, you're going to be one of those guys in line at the theater, aren't you? Three days ahead of time.
No.
I finally watched Kill Bill 1 and 2.
Right.
Never seen those before. I tried to watch the first one before. I couldn't stand it. I finally sat down and got no distractions and managed to watch it. The first one was an absolute work of art. It was a great movie. It was like watching live-action anime, like, with a nice budget. Mm. Not a chintzy budget, you know? It was nice. And the second
especially that scene in the big... I don't even remember. It was a bathhouse or what it was. With the crazy chick with the big freaking mace attached to the chain.
Dope.
And she's like, raw!
Yeah, that was awesome. That was awesome. And this movie really, really is good. And the second one was all right. The second one was all right. But I think you gotta go watch that movie. Final Cut is worth renting. You know, it's definitely better than most of the crap that's on the shelf right now.
Mm.
So, yeah, that's what I got. So, we will see you next week, I guess.
All right.
This is where the drum solo usually goes.